T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I would say I think they have a better shot against Phoenix, but, you know.
What about Chris Paul's experience, Donnie? How much does that go over to the guys that don't have the experience? I mean, your point guard has been through the fire. You don't look at that like, you know what, he can kind of sprinkle that on the other players that maybe don't have the experience he does? Because it's not like you're coming in here like rookies, you know?
Well, I just think it's funny that Chris Paul is somebody that Warrior fans have denigrated for the most part his entire career, never made it to NBA Finals. I don't know if he's ever made it to a Western Conference Finals. So he kind of gets scoffed at. But now that he might be on Phoenix, everybody's worried about his experience, even though Steph has owned him. Since that one matchup against the Clippers way back in whatever that was, 12, I think it was. So,
Chris Paul won that one too. Dibs, game 7.
Yeah.
He did. He won that game 7. And the Warriors had that game too. They were up in that game with 2 minutes to go. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's Warriors versus Lakers on Wednesday. Who do you want? Who do you want after the Lakers? You want to beat the Lakers so that you have Phoenix? Boy, I got to believe they want to be the 7th seed. It's just going to
wow.
be. It's
Go
just
get
gonna
it
be,
then, Tiger. Yeah. Go get them.
650 saying, does the altitude in Salt Lake play a role? Yeah, it does, but but Steph Curry's in pretty good shape. I think we can all agree with that. So it's something, Dibs, that every team's got to deal with. And you play Utah twice a year, you kind of have a feel for it.
And it usually depends on where you've been before you get there or where you're going. Sometimes you go there on the second half of a back-to-back and it's a nightmare. Other times maybe it's Denver first and then it's Utah, so you've got some sort of acclimation. It's an acclimation sensation at that point, quite frankly. But when you go there for a series, the good news is you're going to be there for 4 or 5 days. The bad news in this particular case would be if you're the 8 seed, well, that would mean you played Wednesday and lost, and then you played Friday and won, and you probably have to turn around and play Sunday, game 1 in Utah. And so you won't have the same ability to acclimate. And I guess that's just the bad break this year, because if you win Wednesday, well, and then you're going to Phoenix for game 1, likely Sunday, maybe Saturday, we don't yet know, and you don't have the same acclimation needs. So the irony is you win and you get more time where you won't need it as much from an altitude standpoint.
Yeah, that's irony. Right. And it's, you know, Michael Jordan used to do his own ironing. Did you know that? He didn't hire a cleaning lady. In fact, there was a big feature written on him early in his career by Sports Illustrated, and he did his own laundry, did his own ironing, cleaned his own kitchen.
Because the more you know.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. And this segment is brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. That's a big point that Dibs made, though. If you go to Utah, it's going to be after you played Wednesday, it's after you played Friday, and you're probably playing Monday. So you beat the Lakers, and now you're going to have 4 or 5 days off like a traditional 7 seed in the playoffs. I think that might be as important as anything here. Let's
and
go.
Guess who could be returning? Kelly Oubre. I'm just saying, another body if that were to happen and you get those days off and things went well with his prognosis.
And that would be good for the Warriors or their opponent?
For the Warriors,
Dyke. Oh, for the Warriors. Okay.
I'm Team
I just
Kelly.
Wanted to make sure. It's been they've been doing okay without him. Jesus. Jesus is in San Jose. What's up, Jesus?
Yeah, the answer's simple. You just got to win the game that you have, right? Because they're not going to be up in the game and kind of decide, oh, I think we have a better matchup against Utah. Because you never know with a one-game playoff. Like, I mean, the Grizzlies could have the best game of the year and beat the Warriors. You know what I mean? Or
true.
The Spurs. So I think it's just going to be the Suns that they're going to go after. If they could beat the Lakers.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for the call. And nobody here, I don't think, is saying, yeah, take a free swing at the Lakers because, you know, you'll beat Memphis and play Utah. I mean, you want to win the first possible game you can. And I just think it would behoove the Warriors, if they can somehow beat the Lakers, I like them against Phoenix more than I like them against Utah. That's all. But who knows how it's going to play out, Goo?
Yeah, and that's why we're all excited. And I got to say this because we haven't brought up his name much. Dibs, you let me know if I'm doing too much because I didn't know Jordan Poole's footwork, his ability. He's got the his ability with the handle to create his own shot. On a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you that this – I don't know what he's going to be now. But right now, this dude, to me, has turned himself into a bona fide bucket with the ability to create his own shot and stay hot from three. How shocked are you, man?
About a five, five and a half, because he's not a guy who takes over games. At times, he makes shots and he makes plays. But look at some of the turnovers he has where he's jumping in the key and just kind of flipping the ball casually out to the outside and you know, defensively, he's not quite at even a Steph Curry level. So I'm pleased with the fact that he looks like a real one, a real rotation player in our league. He went from a guy who was G League, maybe a G League lifer to, okay, G League plus, he's got some upside to where, okay, now he can get some garbage time minutes. Well, now he's a rotation guy, and he's a possible playoff player. So it's been a nice renaissance for Jordan Poole, but I'm going to take a little bit of a wait and see attitude.
I need to slow down.
No, you're fine. You don't need to slow down, but we're getting into the point where now if he does it, if he goes for 18 in a play-in loss even to the Lakers and backs it up with 17 in a win over San Antonio, now you're starting to stack good performances in meaningful games.
Yeah, and this is – and Dibs, let me piggyback on that because this is where I think it's more important – that Jordan Poole's done what he's done as opposed to, well, they're in the playoffs. Because he stunk last year. He got sent down to the G League. And now he's put together a solid month or whatever it is. And now you're going into a play-in game or games and maybe the playoffs. And you're actually saying, you know what, we need Jordan Poole to play well for us to have a chance. Well,
yeah.
That in and of itself is proof he's had a successful season because you need him. I mean, you don't need him like Curry, but I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that if he can get you 15 or so or more, you're going to have a better chance to win. So good for Jordan Poole.
And real quick, what about the confidence level? All year long, we used to talk about how it was Fright Night, Halloween, the non-Steph Curry minutes. Dibs, this guy comes on the court. And he's been basically the role of Steph, but he ain't running, Steiny, and he'll let him go sometimes a little too much. But I'm looking like I got confidence when he shoots the ball now. Like, where did this G League lifer is where I thought this the jacket I was getting ready to put on him. And that's the beauty of sports. And again, not a finished product, but I have confidence and an enjoyment of watching him get down. That first step, Steiny, and his handle – like, he's a problem. JD voice.
Lowercase p. Lowercase p problem. He, you know, They've got 99 problems, and well, Poole is one of them, but Steph is probably 75 of them. So as we're listing, you know.
Wow.
Quality Friedel. Yeah, I think I coaxed that out of old Nick Friedel, but he's becoming a good player. And I think if you look back at his opening stint last year and you throw that out, and then you look at what he was last year in the second half and what he's been this year, that's closer to the player he's going to be. He probably won't ever be a 6 of 9 from the floor guy regularly, but he might be 5 of 13, or he might be 8 of 18. He's a guy who can come in and fill it up, which is important in a second unit.
He's a volume shooter, but you have to live with that if he's your sixth man, I think. And there's nothing bad you can say right now about Jordan Poole from where he was. I mean, we're talking about him in a play-in scenario and maybe a playoff scenario. I wouldn't have imagined we'd even be talking about Jordan Poole in that kind of role midway through the season. Wes is in San Francisco. What's up, Wes?
How's it going, fellas?
Going well, man.
Listen, Charles Barkley was 100% right. We have a team of midgets. And every time a big man comes up against the Warriors, like Enes Kanter looked like Hakeem Olajuwon. It was embarrassing. So I think we match up better against Phoenix. They have midgets. We have midgets. But we have the best midget in the world.
Nah, that's not a great term to use. Use smaller people. Just FYI.
I'm out.
Yeah, that's but anyway, you know, that's the other thing. Yeah, the Warriors are small, but it's the best team they are. Their best team is small. And the rat on the table is this team started to thrive when Wiseman and Oubre went out of the lineup. It's just the bottom line, right?
And it's not because of their size. It's because of their inability really to fit with this team. And hopefully if Damian Lee can be back for the offs, if they get there, then that will be another piece of a player who can at least help out. And I think that's the appalling part of the Eric Paschal 2-game arc, because when you needed him, because you didn't have anyone else you wanted to play, he played a ton and he played pretty well, I thought, in game 71, but then game 72, you didn't even find token minutes for him, which I think bodes well for him short term. It doesn't mean he can't still be a long term piece next year, but right now it's clear that they're going to go with this 8 for the time being. If I said the over under on guys who play on Wednesday, if you put it at 8.5, would you go over or under? Is Jordan Bell going to get some crumbs? Perhaps the aforementioned
Eric
Paschal.
They're going to get in foul trouble, so we'll see Bell or somebody. I'm going to go over just at 9, Dibs.
Okay.
I take the over.
Can you set me up again, Dibs, please?
Over under players who appear on the floor Wednesday at Staples. Over under 8.5.
Oh, boy. I'd have to say over 2 just because there's a chance it could get a little ugly. And, you know, the other thing is the Warriors, they're going to, like, it's hard for them. It's going to be hard for them to play 8 guys the whole time. But if their losses in the playoffs are blowouts, it gets easier to play 8 guys, because then you just need time fillers, not, you know, I mean, ideally the Warriors would be in win a close game, lose a blowout, win a close game, lose a blowout. So you can have, other than those top 8 guys, playing minutes. 888-957-9570 is the number. Lakers on Wednesday. Can they beat the Lakers? But don't tell me you just think they can. Tell me how the Warriors beat the Lakers on Wednesday. Also on the other side, it's somebody's lock of the day. We'll find out who after this.
Don't miss Warriors Lakers Wednesday night on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs.
A couple things real quick to tidy up. Chris Paul played in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, obviously, 2 years ago. Wasn't able to finish, though. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are talking about this stat of Steph Curry being 14 for 70 in the last seven games at Staples Center against the Lakers, which is 20%, and them saying, well, the Clippers play there too, okay? And in his last eight games against the Clippers at the Staples Center, he shot 36% from three-point range. So either way you cut it, it's not his favorite venue away from Chase.
And I'm learning, Dibs. There's a Warrior team, the home team at Chase, and the Warrior team on the road. And we saw them in Minnesota. You know, when things don't go well, it can get ugly quick. So let's hope we don't see that come Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think that you will. Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked it. You got zeros across the board for whatever. They don't know what it was. That's like it's like an old movie. This movie is unrated. That impersonation's unrated because we don't know whether that was R or NC-17, quite frankly. But I think that it's more about defense that he faces than it is about the building. Mm. And until I hear Steph talk about the building being a problem, for me, a dark background would actually help with the depth perception more so than the distraction of the mosaic of people.
Nice.
All right. We got, I want to get to some of these callers who are waiting, but first.
And before you do that and get to the thing that we're going to do before you do that, I just want to say, D, this is not a permanent takeover. I don't have custody. Right now it's joint custody. You and I we're sharing custody. And
what happened?
I'll tell you what happens, but don't hit it.
It's time for Guru's Lock of the Day.
Lock me, lady, tonight.
Oh, boy. Oh!
Oh, this is awkward now.
We taking over, Goo. One pick at a time.
It was DJ Cal Dibs in the building, everybody. Dibs Lock of the Day is brought to you by BetQL. Baseball is back. Oh. Basketball teams are battling for playoff spots. The play-in tournament begins Tuesday. The Warriors play Wednesday against the Lakers, and BetQL can help you bet on all of it. BetQL analyzes every bet from every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. It's time to get better at betting. Visit BetQL.com and use promo code BAY for 20% off. That's 20% off with promo code BAY, B-A-Y, at BetQL.com. On Friday, Dibs took the under 221 in the Jazz Thunder matchup. It was a five-star bet on BetQL. Utah cruised to a win.
Clarkson puts up a three. Oh, he hit it. He wanted contact.
And they got it.
And Clarkson knocks it home.
Thanks to AT&T Sportsnet for that audio. Jordan Poole's three, Jordan Clarkson's three at the end of the third put the Jazz ahead by 23 points. But the good news for Dibs is the game never scared the over. It was a 109-93 final. Didn't even have to sweat it out. 212 is the total. Dibs, you are 2-0, thanks in large part to our friends at BetQL.
They are making me a better. And that's, you know, you like a game, there's a couple that you like, and then you go on there and you see what the numbers, what the trends and the analysis is. And, you know, keeping it simple, Kyle. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate that. And, you know, we're trying to keep it rolling. I'm sorry, Steiny. We're trying to keep it rolling. And with no NBA tonight, I turn to baseball and, well, the pick is in. This is a team that has really struggled and a team that I'm kind of getting enamored with. The Chicago White Sox, Dallas Keuchel at Minnesota and J.A. Happ tonight. White Sox are 12-4 against teams with a bullpen ERA of 4.7 or higher. We're taking the White Sox, not on the run line, just straight up, -104. And this, again, confirmed by the good analytics at BetQL.com. The White Sox, just to win. Just win, baby. It's an Al Davis special.
Goo?
I want to go Hal McRae, But I'm being honest, Stoney, it was time. I needed the time off, but I'm rooting against him. I gotta be honest,
man.
Yeah, I'm rooting against him. I'm going for the. I'm watching that game tonight.
This is like when parents divorce, and then you know I'm.
Nobody told me, Bray. Don't break it to me on the show, because now my emotions are true and raw.
Well,
and
you gotta check our custody agreement. We agreed when we decided to split the baby, quote unquote, that if you dipped back to 500, I would get custody.
The hell with the kids.
You're like the parent right now. Dibs. I'm taking the kids to the amusement park, and he's hoping little Johnny gets sick on the roller coaster.
Steiny, I want blood from Dibs right now, so much so, I promise I don't know this answer. Who won Jeopardy last week? Because I'm hoping it was you or whoever was filling in for me. So that'll be a Dibs loss. Tell me it was one of you two. Oh, he won.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's a little awkward, yeah. Sorry, Friedel early. A Friedel flurry early. Steiny put the chickens out to roost with a bold wager. Steiny. Yeah.
Okay.
It was. I felt like Chauncey Billups and the Pistons. I think I won it 77-68.
Okay, I'm rooting
it was
for
ugly.
You tonight, dude.
Come on, Mr. Dibs.
You win, we all win. There
exactly. Ride the Dibber.
Yeah, White Sox minus 104, Steiny. We're not laying the run and a half. Yeah.
Who they playing?
Minnesota. Minnesota terrible.
Yeah, they're struggling. They're struggling.
Yeah.
By the way, now that you brought up those Pistons teams, Ben Wallace.
Give me a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Dibs. Well, that then means Chauncey Bill. Then you got to take all four of those starters, all four of those other starters.
Rip, Rashid,
Chauncey,
and Tayshaun Prince.
You guys notice Steiny standing on something? Is he?
Cut the damn music. We're doing it live.
Ben Wallace.
We got to fix that intro. It's too long.
Ben Wallace was no more important than those other guys. He was important to those Piston teams.
He set the tone, Steiny. Gave you second chance shot.
So is Billups
in the Hall of Fame? When the game was different. Nope.
Chauncey Billups is not in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. You're asking me. I don't know.
So Ben Wallace is the only guy on that team that's in the Hall of Fame?
You got to Google it.
You there, Goo?
Yeah. I don't know, I said. I'm not one of these guys that walk around. Yeah, I said I don't know. I don't walk around like I'm Google.
Don't you think it would be unfair if that team was only represented by Ben Wallace? That's all I'm saying.
Chauncey Billups not in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
No, he's
going to
get in. He's going to get in.
But when? Ben's already in. And he's been in a minute. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, congratulations to Chris Webber. Who cares? What, Kyle?
Dude, I teared up with him and Jalen Rose. But
the curiosity of Webber going into the Hall of Fame and losing his gig on virtually the same day, I can't help but think there's more that's going to come out about that. I don't know what it was, but it seemed to be odd timing. If you're going to part ways with somebody and you do it before the playoffs and on the day that he gets anointed to be a Hall of Famer. And by the way, first early tribute to the end of an era. Yes! Who will be broadcasting his final playoffs?
Man.
Marv Albert hanging him up.
And it counts. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
I liked Webber on the broadcast. He got hated on. I don't understand it. I like C-Webb. His contract was up. Steiny, they didn't bring him back. But then he gets the best news of his life that he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Guru, Chris Webber was like you in 12th grade. He did no homework.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't
trying.
Come
on, nothing. I get nothing for that.
Yeah. I did my homework. I mean, your guy on Fox gets hated on, and he's the best to ever do it. Who am I talking about?
Joe Buck?
The hair plugs.
This guy's pretty good.
Who are you talking about?
Joe Buck. People hate him, and he's Mr. Perfect.
And Buck's great.
So Webber was pretty good. That's all for me. And you know I like my announcers. They can ruin it, or they can make it or break it. I like C-Webb.
Yeah.
TNT must have not.
We found the guy. We found the guy who did like him.
And we'll see what the business feels about him when he either gets hired immediately, he gets hired in the offseason, or he gets put on ice. And this ultimately is the ultimate Mark Jackson barometer as far as him being a coach, because he did good things with the Warriors, but he also did some things that weren't great. And subsequently, he hasn't gotten a gig, nor has he gotten much of a sniff. He's gotten a little bit of a waft of a job, but he hasn't gotten a legit sniff even.
Yeah, it's like when you're, what Mark Jackson got is like when you're
Give
driving through Coalinga. You know, you get that Harris Ranch smell, and it's gone. And then it's gone. And you know it'll be gone. See, that's the thing. You know it won't linger.
Gone.
Exactly.
Nah, he blackballed himself, and there was some stuff we can get into religion and other stuff, Donnie, that he talked about sexual orientation. That he dug his own grave, man. Yeah. That's it.
Let's not do that. Yeah. Let's not rehash Mark Jackson. We're in a good frame of mind
right
now.
I want him
now.
To coach.
The Warriors. Hey, Steve Kerr, by the way. When's he going to get some credit for this team?
Should be right now.
All right. I guess so. Because he, I don't know if he stumbled into it or not, but he's found the right guys right now. Let's go to Houston. Lewis is in Houston, and he wants to talk about the Warriors. Now, what's up, Lewis?
Hi, yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about the Warriors' chances against the Lakers. And, you know, in my opinion, I just think that the best way to beat this Lakers team is to have Draymond play at the center. And, you know, they're just going to have to double LeBron James and just take him out the game. And let AD go to work, you know, let him get his points. But to me personally, I feel that LeBron James is a way bigger threat than AD as far as playmaking goes. And also, you know, Andrew Wiggins is just going to have to step up and have a game like he did against the Suns the other day. And, you know, you have those pieces together, and you know that you're brewing an upset. I just want to hear you guys' thoughts on that, and I'll listen in.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Lewis. I don't think Kerr's going to start Draymond at the five. I think he's going to keep Looney as the starting center. But he can always go to Draymond at the five as early as he needs, Dibs.
But Kevon's been so good, he's been so sturdy, that I think you need him on the floor. To me, it's more of a question of, you know, how much can you play Juan Toscano-Anderson and Draymond without Kevon being out there? And also, does Jordan Bell have a role, 2 to 4 minutes, to go in there and at least be disruptive and maybe grab a rebound and match size when the Lakers have Drummond on the floor? Because if you think about defensively, who guards LeBron? Who guards Anthony Davis? And put aside Kuzma, you figure you put Looney on Drummond when that unit is out there, but I mean, you're going to have what, Wiggins guards LeBron and
I think so.
Draymond guards AD? I mean, Draymond can guard AD and do a pretty good job, not taking him away, but at least containing him somewhat. And Wiggins can maybe do the same with LeBron at times, but defensively, that's where it starts to get a little bit scary for me.
And you know what I smell when you say that, Dibs? When you just put it out that way, is foul trouble. Stoney, what happens if, you know, Dre or Looney get in early foul trouble? Then what do you have? Because I'll say this and why I'm scared about this matchup. The Warriors have the – they're playing small ball. We all know it. It's going well. But they have the ability, to me, to make the other teams big a liability. We saw it with Gobert. We saw it at times yesterday, but not as much. And my point being, when you're playing this Laker team with all these trees, and we didn't even mention Drummond, how are you going to do that? How are you going to make multiple bigs liabilities? And I don't think, you know, that – you know, you not having your traditional big – you're not going to be able to do that. And if you do, it's going to be hard as hell. And that's why I don't like this matchup, man. Because a couple early fouls on Dre or Looney, then we're like, oh, the floodgates have opened.
Yeah, see, I look at it a little different. I think if we're talking about Looney and Draymond, I think if they get early foul troubles, they almost play through it. And you're hoping they're smart enough to play through it. The other thing, this is what I agree, though, Goo, why the Lakers have an advantage. You know, if early in the game they're trying to play Drummond or Gasol, and they're not effective. Maybe the Warriors are doing a nice job against those bigs. That's fine. Just move Anthony Davis to center. You know what I mean? They have two legit. They can go big, or they can just move Davis to center and quote unquote go small with that 7-footer at center. So they got, you know, they got a lot of ways. They got a lot of ways to get it done.
And a good bench too, and a deeper bench. And you know, they've got scoring. You mentioned Dennis Schroeder coming off the bench, and Kuzma with that second unit. So if the Warriors do go with the short bench and just play the eight, well, now you're asking Jordan Poole to be able to get his against Dennis Schroeder in the second unit, and you're really looking for that reserve bunch to be able to score and compete with a pretty long and talented second unit in L.A.
You know what I would like to happen, fellas, because I've come down Dre's road, but I also have given Draymond Green his flowers for his ability to wrestle with bears. Steiny, at the end of the day, the dude is undersized, but he's like Joe Frazier with the body punches and the ability to wrestle those bears. Where I'm going is stand up, Dre. You need to tell Kevon. You need to tell JTA. The rest of the Warriors, they need to get with that program. And nobody does it better than Draymond Green, Steiny, on how to wrestle body punches, all that stuff.
Really?
Because they're going to need it against not one big, but multiple bigs that this Laker team is going to throw out at you. And it's not just Draymond. I ain't worried about him. It's the others. They got to find that ability and that desire, guys, to wrestle with the bears where you're undersized, but it don't look like it because you're that damn strong.
And yet, you criticized him for not being able to shut down his man. Like a lockdown defender.
Well, that's outside. All I said was the slippage was outside on the perimeter where I was seeing guys go by him. What this is going to present Wednesday is it's boxing. They are in a phone booth down low, and that I like. But can the others duplicate that? That's where we got problems.
Billy in Oakland. What's going on, Billy in Oakland?
I can't wait.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear. Better than Guru, actually.
Thanks for having me on, guys. My first time on the show, big fan.
Nice.
I called on the Saturday show before. I'm a huge Lakers fan, been in the Bay forever. I respect the Warriors. Here we go. Here's how the Warriors are going to beat the Lakers in a one game. It's just like a punter who has a knockout chance. You know, if the Warriors, and not just Steph, but if the Warriors as a team shoot 45% or over, or even close to that, 43, 42 on threes, Lakers go through offensive droughts. I've watched every single game, and I know all the guys are back, and that might not be the case this time, but we don't have the best shooters, and I'm scared of the Warriors and Steph, because if you guys outshoot us, and it's a shooter's league because of Steph, you guys can get that, and we'll be forced to face Memphis or San Antonio and hopefully crush them. Obviously, it could go the other way, and we could get on top of you guys. And I know how we're going to defensively guard Steph. Vogel is not that complicated on D. We're going to try to trap him. We're going to try to take away some of those back cuts once the original off the screen coming off towards the three-pointer is taken away. We're going to take away some of those back cuts with zone. But if your other guys come in and shoot threes and you guys are hitting, it could get away from us, believe it or not, one game. If you guys shoot the ball out, we're in trouble. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Spadoni was giving you the thumbs up as a Laker fan behind the scenes. Not closet, because he's out of the closet as a Laker fan, but he is behind the scenes. And, you know, here's what I think. I think the Lakers are a damn good defensive team, though. So can the Warriors shoot? Can they go 19 for 40 from three? Yeah, but it's tough against the Lakers. It's
because
tough.
They're so long and they're so athletic. They don't have, like, Utah's defense good on the perimeter. They've got some great defensive presence in the interior, but it's really not the same length that the Lakers have. So you talk about Kuzma and Anthony Davis and LeBron and Drummond on the interior and KCP and Dennis Schroeder. And, you know, you've got guys who are willing defenders out there. So Steph is going to have his hands full for 38 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's just
Goku.
No, I was just going to say, just think about the defensive assignments. If you're the Lakers, All you're saying is, hey, guys, we got to sell out on number 30, protect, easier said than done, protect the three-point line, and we got action. If you're the Warriors, you got like six items on the list of what you got to worry about. Start with LeBron, AD. You know, we ain't even mentioned Gasol, Kuzma. I'm just saying, it's a headache.
You know what? I get it. Here's if we come in on Thursday and the Warriors have won, my prediction will be that Drummond and Gasol do nothing virtually. Like, that we'll look, and Gasol was 1 for 4, and Drummond, you know, was 2 for 7. Because I do think that's a possibility. By the way, file this under, no kidding, Steph Curry, the player of the month for May. Steph Curry, player of the month for May. He's the first player in the history of the franchise to earn player of the month back-to-back.
This is crazy.
So put it up. Put another notch in the belt. Not a half notch. Not a half notch. A full notch, Steph Curry. Nice career he's putting together for the Golden State Warriors. I think that's pretty obvious. Let's go to Brett. Brett's in, and everybody knows, one of my favorite towns, Benicia. What's up, Brett?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, if I can backtrack a little bit to the Suns Jazz.
Sure.
I think it's an obvious choice. I mean, you look at the Jazz, they have elite guard play with Conley and Mitchell, and then they got the 7-2 defensive play of the year down low. So when we send that double to them, then you got three of the top six three-point shooting percentage players in the NBA on the perimeter. And then if that's not enough, you got a sixth man that can give you a 40-piece or 30-piece every single night. So I think the Jazz, outside the Nets and the Lakers, are probably the most toughest team to beat in the league. And then you look at Chris Paul. I mean, he's 36 years old trying to chase Steph around for a seven-game series. I think that just works our advantage a little bit.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. And I know, hey, it's funny because people were saying, well, hey, the Warriors, they beat Utah. Now, I know Utah didn't have its starting backcourt, but, well, stop. Stop right there. Utah didn't have its starting backcourt. And the other thing, everybody's saying Donovan Mitchell. Mike Conley is a good, good player. And on any given night, he's capable of giving Steph some problems. And what I mean by problems is just turning him a little bit into a volume shooter. Would I rather have Steph? Of course I'd rather have Steph. But don't sleep on Mike Conley. He's good.
And you've got, in that case, two guys doing the same thing as just one player, because Conley, good distributor, great defender, who doesn't need to score if Donovan Mitchell's out there getting his. So you can have Conley expend his energy on the defensive end and let Mitchell expend his on the offensive end. Whereas Steph Curry, by nature of this defense in particular, without a lot of rim protection and you're switching 1 through 5, you're going to have to play on both ends of the floor and with only three guys coming off the bench.
Great point. Did I hear him wrong, Steiny? Because nobody's doubling Gobert.
I think he meant double Steph and Gobert's back there. All right, I think that's what he said.
I was like, yeah, nobody, they ain't doing that, pal. Or playing. You know what? Yeah.
No, Gobert is go there, remember, on offense. Go there in the corner. Rudy, go there, which
H-I-D-E.
You may find Steph. Thank you, Nick. You may find Steph Curry finishes ahead of him in the MVP voting. He may end up finishing second when all things are said and done here because of back-to-back players of the month. LeBron James has now given him his endorsement, and actually the odds that I saw, odds online, he's now the second choice behind the prohibitive favorite, Nikola Jokic.
I Steiny, Dibs, you just hit on what I was going to ask you. If you were at a coffee shop, because I know where I was when Steve Nash stole it from Kobe and Shaq, I was blown away, flabbergasted. Where I'm going is, now that the dust is settled, if Steph Curry somehow was announced MVP, would you spit your coffee out for Jokic and be like, how the hell? This is the big – I don't – see, that's how I look at these things. Like, how would I feel? And LeBron just giving his endorsement, and so is Ja Morant. I'm starting to think something could be, we could be shocked when that announcement comes. How shocked would you two be if it was Steph?
Well,
now that they're five over 500.
Well, and here's the thing, Goo, and this is where I guess my objectivity is a problem. Because I'll tell you what I would think if Steph Curry won the MVP this year. I would think, huh. So Steph Curry is the first unanimous MVP in the history of the league. Wilt never did it. Jordan never did it. Kareem never did it. Gotcha. But then he's also going to be the MVP of the league, the first MVP of the league as an 8 seed. Now that, to me, that would play into some of the narratives we've heard, particularly from Kendrick Perkins, about the thought that he's actually the golden boy, not the guy who everybody dislikes or takes something. So would he deserve it? Yeah, it would be different, but I don't think he's going to win it.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen. I just was pointing out that he's now, second. And Guru, it would be more than spitting coffee. It would be coffee coming out the nose too.
Okay.
It would be that kind of a violent backlash. Right, it wouldn't just be your classic spit take, your vaudevillian spit take. It would be a full reversal of fortune. It would be a Joey Chestnutian reversal, although he's never reversed on the grandest of stages. Jokic right now, minus 100,000, which means you got to bet 100 to win a singular dollar. He's that much of a prohibitive favorite. Joel Embiid and Steph Curry, both as the second choice at 20-1. Then it's Giannis at 50-1, Luka and Harden at 100-1, LeBron 150-1. And on it goes.
Yeah, I think Steph will get two. Now that you threw all those names at me, and that's fine. He's had a great last two months.
Yeah, and what he didn't have was the enough wins. He played well enough to be the MVP, Dibs, but he didn't have the team success, which will ultimately be why Jokic will get it, who also had a great season.
Well, Jokic had an incredible individual year. And if you want to just talk individual years, Russell Westbrook at 250-1 had the best individual year. But it's more than just the one part of it. It's not just the best player on the best team. If it was, then Rudy Gobert would probably get that. And he's not even up here on the board.
Yeah, and nor should he be, I don't think.
Mm.
But that's... Yeah, that's just me. Great defensive player, but offensively, just not. What do you think? What would you think about what I said there, Goo? About what? So Steph would get the first unanimous, and then he'd be the first guy to win it as an 8 seed since Jabbar,
honestly, Steiny,
in like the mid-70s.
It was a walk-off from you, and Kendrick Perkins has since turned around everything he said that he said about Curry back in the day. But I get that, and I forgot that. But what I'm saying is I know I'm watching, and I'll take this to my grave, the best player currently in the NBA, and that's why I said hearing LeBron, Ja, just everybody talk about Steph, rightfully so. What if he was to pull an upset and win the MVP, I really forgot that, you know what, it would be at a 7th or 8th seed. And I said on this same program, Dibs, nobody should ever supersede a guy that has similar numbers, especially like Jokic, if his team is higher up in the standings. That's just how the nature of the award has been since its existence.
Well, everybody votes on their own criteria. And so you can look at the numbers, if you want to just look at raw numbers, the advanced metrics, Jokic is having the best year. And you look at the standings, and Denver's near the top, and that's another feather in his cap. And the fact that he hasn't yet won one, and he's having this year, well, that's a part of the, quote, narrative. And we see it all the time. Giannis could be a guy who could win MVP this year, but he's already got two. He's got two in a row. Is Giannis doing enough this year statistically? Well, he should be in the conversation, quite frankly, but there's no buzz because he already got his two. And if he would have turned his two into championships, he would be the favorite to win a third. Let's put the rat on the table, one last rat, as we fill the dining room table. If the Bucks would have won the last two championships, he would be the favorite to win MVP this year.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, he would definitely be getting way more consideration than this year. Now, I would take it two steps further and say, well, maybe if he had won two, then they might be more likely to give it to Jokic to get him one. But the point is well taken.
Just the narrative, the nature of the narrative. Yeah, the power of the narrative where, and that's where I think it hurts Steph, Goo, because he's already gotten two. And, his unanimous might count for double. And so almost the unanimous is being held against him in some corners.
No doubt, and I hate, and you're not saying it's IOUs, guys, but it's sort of like that, Stani. The narrative of Jokic has been in this league. He's a fixture. He's been a great soldier this season, and he doesn't have one. That carries weight. How much, I don't know, but I definitely know that the committee, is taking that into account. But I'll say this, and I'll get off of this. The best defensive player in the league is in Milwaukee, and I've taken him for granted, and that's his Giannis A. He won't get it this season, I think, because he already got one. But Stani and Dibs, I've been watching, man. That dude is a dream on the defensive end. And it ain't Ben. It ain't Gobert. But Gobert may win it. Could be Draymond. But Giannis, hey, you told me my life was on the line, I had to get a defender, it's Giannis. Any position, Stani.
Well, speaking of defense, maybe we're going to spend a lot of time on this tomorrow. But I think there is going to be a rat on the table come Wednesday, and it's going to be the Warriors. For the Warriors to beat the Lakers, they are going to need full-on, unadulterated, two-way wigs. He's going to have to get them 20, and he's going to have to somehow turn LeBron into a volume shooter. And here's the other thing. Maybe we can have some fun with this over the next 2 days. If this happens, how do you think it's going to happen? But if we're coming in here Thursday and the Warriors have beaten the Lakers, I got to believe Wiggins had at least 20. Damn. On 8 of 17, maybe more. And then that LeBron was 8 of 22, let's say, and then 6 of 13 from the line. It's Wiggins. This is he's going to have work cut out for him. Yeah. Yeah.
And Draymond, too. And, Goo, I was talking a lot about win shares earlier, the number of victories your performance contributes to the general total. Well, Draymond Green is now fourth in the league in defensive win shares. It goes Gobert, Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel. Then it's Draymond Green, Jokic, Giannis, Capella, Royce O'Neal, who we've referenced before, then Ben Simmons, and Bam. It's a long way to go to say that, according to the metrics, Draymond Green having the fourth most impactful to his team year on the defensive end.
And he's just waiting to find his name, get his name called on all NBA defense. If it ain't first team, it's one of these teams, Donnie, right? That's a given.
Yeah. Yeah, the 650 says the MVP is a joke if you give it to the Joker. Yeah, that's inaccurate. That's absolutely inaccurate. 408 says the Dubs would have to have won 42 or more. Yeah, you know what? I mean, we were starting to get up toward that. I mean, the thing that Curry's got, what were they, 1-7 in games he didn't play? So theoretically they were 38-26 when he played. That's pretty good. So that would be his argument, but I agree with Dibs. Narrative's a big part of this, and Jokic was the best player on a real, real good team, and they lost a real, real good player, and they stayed afloat. So if I could write a check for – how much would I have to write a check for to get to earn a dollar, Dibs?
100.
100 out, so I bet 1,000 to win 10, 10,000 to win 100.
Yeah.
You got but again, it. That chicken.
They got limits. They're not going to let you just, walk into Caesars and say, here's $1 million to win 10 grand. They're not interested in your action at that point.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to give them $1,000 on, Embiid at 20-1, they'll take that bet gladly. No limits on your wager if it's going to be
a loss.
Here's
a ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's going to be a loss, and that would likely be the kind of bet I'm making. But we'll see if I ever get into the
Let's go White Sox, Dibs. I'm rooting for you. Yeah,
appreciate
I'm rooting
it.
For Dibs. Yeah.
Appreciate it. That didn't feel genuine, but I'll take it anyway.
I am, yeah.
He wants his bit back.
Dibs, he said he was rooting against you. He said, no, I didn't say root against you. He said, I want you to lose.
Yeah. Right? You guys laugh when I lose. I just want to join in.
Up two units right now, Goo. Up 2.0 units.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, does LeBron James actually respect Steph Curry or not? Or is he a master manipulator? Plus, Ray Ratto's dear friend, Michael Wilbon, at 3 o'clock. Nick Wright joins the show at 5:20. Do not miss those two interviews as we get you ready for Warriors play-in versus the Lakers on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, everybody. What else can I be? All apologies.
You've been lied to by corrupt politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. Hi, I'm Inc. Magazine best-selling author Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because according to Time Magazine, Wall Street's retirement plans and 401ks have failed millions of Americans. After losing 35% in my IRA in the crash years ago, I said enough. And since then, I've discovered a way to grow money potential double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free copy and talk with a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose when the next crash hits. Call 800-239-0101 to discover.